It's the start of our Christmas series, and so I brought with me a Christmas cracker. I need someone to help me. Martin, yes, come on, let's go. Great. And you get to wear the hat for the rest of the day.
You don't want the question of the charade?
No, we'll pass on charades, we'll just go to the joke.
Okay, what do you get hanging from Father Christmas's roof?
Tell us.
Tired arms. That is bad. Oh, that is really bad.
Thanks for that.
Good one.
Yeah, all yours. I think that's part of your ornament. Cool. All right. And as you know, in our Christmas crackers, we often get three things. There's a cringe joke to tell, there's some kind of a gift, and then there's the Christmas hat, the crown to wear. And that's what we've taken inspiration from for our Christmas series this year, to help us think afresh again about the good news of Jesus. And so our talks over the next month are going to be Jesus is no joke, Jesus is the best gift ever, and Jesus is the crowned king. Today, number one, Jesus is no joke. Growing up in my family, we loved crackers and reading out loud the jokes around the table. As we began our Christmas dinner, each person would announce, here's my joke. And so, you know, I would say, what do angry mouse give each other at Christmas? Cross mouse cards. And then my dad would say, he'd say, well, what did Adam say on the day before Christmas? It's Christmas, Eve. Or my sister, she would read hers, last one. Why is it getting harder to buy Advent calendars? Because their days are numbered. On and on it goes, and of course, like you, everyone around the table groans at the terrible jokes. But perhaps, actually, that's how our world thinks about Jesus now. You know, a lame joke to groan at. Someone to roll our eyes at. Perhaps someone we can do without or an optional part of Christmas. And if he does get a mention, it seems like he's sort of relegated to just an ancient story. With no relevance to our modern lives. But is that all Jesus is? Is this just a myth about some baby born 2,000 years ago, halfway around the world? Well, that's the question we're going to explore today. And to do that, we're going to look at parts of Luke's gospel and see that actually the story of Jesus is no joke because, well, it really happened. And therefore, it really matters. And so let's look first at how we know that the Christmas story really happened. And that's part one. Because unlike the jokes that make us laugh or groan, the Christmas story wasn't thought up by some guys in an office trying to sell their product to the world. The gospel writers, the ones who wrote the biographies of Jesus, they wanted us to know that it was much more than a made-up story. Just look again at how Luke introduces his gospel. He says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by who were from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. These events were so significant, so important, that we have four biographies of Jesus in our Bibles, and Luke is one of them. The stakes were high. He wanted to write it down so this true story would not be forgotten. So, how did he go about it? Well, notice the language that he uses. He says it was handed down from eyewitnesses. He talked to people who were actually there, the people who saw it with their own eyes. And you know, there were whole crowds of people who saw the things that Jesus did and said. over 500 people actually saw Jesus risen from the dead. Luke says he carefully investigated it, taking his time, doing a thorough exploration, visiting the places Jesus went, talking to family and friends. And once he'd gathered up all that information and brought the testimonies together, he sat down to write what he calls an orderly account. He didn't just throw it together or give it as little thought as those Christmas cracker jokes. In a clear and deliberate way, he wrote the biography of Jesus. And all throughout Luke's gospel, you can actually see the details that he includes to make sure it's historically accurate. For example, the verse immediately after the one we read had in our reading gives us exact names and informations. You know, you can see there, the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Names, details. Again, in chapter 2, verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Luke is careful to show that Jesus is no made-up fairy tale joke. He was real. He came at a real time, to a real place, at a real point in history. And even perhaps if you are still wondering if the Bible writers just kind of got together in a room and made up their own story, there's plenty of evidence outside of the Bible as well. Ancient writers from different perspectives took notice of the events surrounding Jesus. There is archaeological evidence that you can see for yourself today if you were to hop on a plane and fly to Israel. In fact, almost every reputable historian, both religious and secular, even atheist, agree that Jesus was a real person. Jesus is no joke. He was really born. He was really came to earth. It really happened. And maybe that's news to you. You know, maybe it's easier to hear that story of the first Christmas and think that it's laughable. You know, a couple engaged to be married, a virgin being told she'll miraculously give birth to the Son of God who will save the world, having to travel back to their hometown only to end up bunking with animals, nursing a baby in one of the feeding troughs, their first visitors, some excited random shepherds and a group of foreign men following a star. Lots of people hear that story and quickly move it into the category of myths and fairy tales. In fact, that was the issue that a guy called Clive Lewis had with Christianity. You probably know him better as C.S. Lewis, the guy who wrote Narnia. But before he was a Christian, he thought the gospel stories were just fairy tales, like Greek myths or Norse gods. Lewis said that though he loved them, he thought the stories were just lies. Until he spoke to his friend John. You probably know him as J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings. They were friends. Tolkien was a Christian, and he told his friend C.S. Lewis that the gospel stories were not made up, that they were actually true. And so after some lively conversation with Tolkien and some careful investigation of his own into the life of Jesus, Lewis became a Christian. Here was an intelligent guy who moved from thinking that the Christmas story, he used to think it was a work of fiction until he realized it was true, that it really happened. And that's what Luke is trying to tell us in his gospel. He investigated it. He spoke to eyewitnesses. He wrote it down for us to read. And as Luke puts together this orderly account, he tells us the reason why he's decided to do it. Have a look again at verse 3. With this in mind, Luke writes, "Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that have been taught. Luke wants his readers, whether it's Theophilus or people from the first century or us, he wants everyone to be certain, to be confident, to know that all the things that they have heard or been taught about Jesus in the gospel story, it's true. That Jesus of Nazareth, he was a real person who belongs on the pages of history, not a fiction novel. That his birth, life, death, and resurrection were witnessed. And Luke recorded it so that we could be certain it really happened. And look, if you would still like some more convincing on that, Luke invites you to read his biography. He wants you to be certain of the things that you're hearing about Jesus. So grab a Bible, digital or paper, and start exploring for yourself. Because of the story of Jesus, it really happened. And if it really happened, well then, it really matters. And that's point two. The story of Jesus is no joke. It really matters. Right from the moment of Jesus is born, his identity is significant. In chapter 2 of Luke, as part of that Christmas story, an angel announces these words. Speaking to some shepherds in a field, an angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Jesus was proclaimed to be the Lord and Savior of the world from the day he was born. And if Jesus' birth really happened, well then who he is and what he does really matters. But why? Why do we need a Lord and Savior anyway? Well, it's because we all know that behind all the shiny lights and decorated trees, the wrapped up gifts and the food spread out on the table, there's a big shadow behind Christmas. The frustration of impending arguments with our families. The pain of lost loved ones who are not here with us this year. The heartbreak of feeling lonely in a crowd. The hurt of others mistreating you. The stress of trying to afford things, the grumpiness when things don't go our way, the tears of having to let people down, the exhaustion of just trying to get to the end of another year. It's the shadow of sin that fills our lives. It's the brokenness of the world because things are not as they should be. And this can be magnified in seasons like Christmas. And look, no doubt you've experienced some or all of these feelings. For lots of us, Christmas is actually not the most wonderful time of the year. It's painful, stressful, exhausting, or all of the above. But that's exactly why Jesus really matters. It's why he came. To deal with the darkness, to take away the problem of sin in a way that no one else can. He came, born that Christmas morning, a Savior. And look, people have certainly tried to deal with this shadow without Jesus. You know, there's a guy called Glenn Scrivener. He says that at Christmas time, there are four different ways that people respond to the darkness in our world. He says, there's the shopper that wants to distract from that shadow by spending lots, eating lots, in hopes of kind of buying happiness. A shopper says, darkness is coming, and so we'd better celebrate now while we still can. Surely there's more to life. Or there's the Santa kind of attitude, pretending that everything's okay with a hearty ho, ho, ho. A Santa says, darkness? What darkness? They deny there's even a shadow there and pretend that everything's okay despite the realities of life. Then there's the Scrooges amongst us. They get grumpy with all the carols playing in the shops and they want to kind of shut out the Christmas cheer and live in the shadow full time. A Scrooge says, yes, darkness is all around and it always will be. Get used to it. And finally, there's the stable. The story of the original Christmas message. The stable says darkness is real, but the light has dawned. Here we face the truth of the fact that the shadow of sin is in our world, and yet we can joyfully find hope in the light because Jesus was born a Saviour, our Lord. I wonder what kind of Christmas you are. What's your way of dealing with the darkness? Well, this is why the story of Jesus really matters. Because without him, we have no solution to the shadow of sin. We'd be left just to resort to distraction or pretending it's not real or just dwelling in despair. Instead, in Jesus, we find an answer to our problem, a light shining in darkness. It really matters. And that is really good news. Remember once more the words of that angel announced the first Christmas night. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. See, the arrival of Jesus continues to be good news of great joy for all people. Because Jesus really did come and save us. Which is what the rest of Luke's gospel is all about. How Jesus lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, and rose from the dead as Lord. So that all of us could be saved from the shadow of sin. It was the arrival of Jesus, that first Christmas, that kicked off all of that plan into motion. The story of Jesus really matters because it brings good news of great joy. No matter where people are at or how they're trying to deal with darkness in their life. And so I wonder, perhaps you can imagine your own work Christmas party or family Christmas celebration. And as you think about who might be there in the room or around the table, I wonder if you can identify these kinds of different attitudes towards Christmas. Because all of them need Jesus. Remember, he's good news for all people. So you might know a shopper who tries to surround themselves with as much distraction as possible. Their spending and eating habits will only bring temporary happiness. That quickly fades. But Jesus is good news for them because he can bring great joy, deep joy, and lasting joy. Or perhaps your colleague has a bit of a Santa attitude, pretending like everything's all okay, life is peachy. But actually, that only works until something goes wrong and they can't pretend anymore. Jesus is good news for them because he doesn't deny our pain. He comes to save us from it and even brings meaning to the hard things that we do go through. Or maybe someone in your family is a bit of a Scrooge. They're content to be grumpy and put a dampener on the festivities. They hate Christmas, they hate people, and sometimes they just even hate life. Jesus is good news for them because he brings hope that is real, a light to the darkness that brings life forever. You see, Christmas can be the most wonderful time of the year if we introduce people to the good news of Jesus and help them to see the great joy that he brings. And look, there's a whole number of ways we might go about trying to do that. Whether it's inviting someone along to carols next week or our Christmas Day gatherings, whether it's chatting about the meaning of Christmas over a coffee, whether it's using your social media to share a helpful Christmas video, or perhaps making the most of your Christmas occasion, your meals together, to say something meaningful about Jesus. Because as people of the stable, as followers of Jesus, we can stand out from the crowd this Christmas if we're shaped by this good news of great joy. We can shine light in the darkness. Because Jesus is our Lord, he's our Saviour, which was good news of great joy back then and continues to be today. The story of Jesus. It's really no joke, because it really happened, and so it really matters. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus that first Christmas. Thank you that it really happened. Thanks that Luke wrote it down so we could be certain of it. Help us to see how that really matters. That Jesus was born as both Lord and Saviour. May we be people of the stable who share this good news of great joy with all people. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.